So today's subject is how to do our bhakti. How? You see? You said there are 9 kinds of ways, kinds of bhakti, or the devotion. 5. 9 kinds. Now that means 9. There are 9 ways and means to have, to strengthen our bhakti and devotion in God. First of all, we have got your eyes. Through the eyes, that devotion is always developed and strengthened. So when you see the God in man, the God in you, light or sound, or the physical body which radiates the light and sound, when you see Him, eyes are the windows of the soul. We receive impressions from outside. About 80% of this, all impressions which we receive from outside, 80% are received through the eyes. So eyes are the most effective way to develop, to strengthen the devotion in us for Him, whom we love. So yes, you see, receive impressions, let those impressions embed it in your heart, and close your eyes. Just look, see, the God in man and the God light and sound, are the light and sound which radiates from the human pole. Just look at it, intently, mindlessly, penetrating, just forgetting everything else. Receive impressions, then close your eyes. Let those impressions be embedded in your heart. You see? Result will be, in due course of time, of course not all when, all at once, that will be developing and that devotion will be strengthened from day to day. So much so that you will feel He is in me and I am in Him. You see? This is the true. So, true devotion, true bhakti is developed in this through the eyes. Well, God radiates through the eyes of this God-man, you see. Your eyes, through your eyes, you see into His eyes. When two eyes meet together, and you see and He sees, you see, He just sheds or gives a lyrical glances of His high divinity through you. You receive it. Receive the impression, close your eyes. And be absorbed in that. In due course, you'll feel, as you think, so you become. This is the best way of strengthening the devotion within you. So there are 9, so one is taken as a bridegroom and a bride. Christ has said, God is our bridegroom, everlasting bridegroom. Worldly bridegrooms are for 100 years at the most. The bridegroom of the soul is God Himself, and all our souls are His virgin girls, you see. So if you want that He should be just, what you say, infused in your very life, then receive the impression. This is the most effective way of developing love, or devotion, or strengthening in due course. The first kind is just like a bride and bridegroom. You see, Christ, Catherine, and others, they said, well, I have been just betrothed with Christ. So Catherine used to wear one ring here, you see, in sign of that she is betrothed to Christ. These are some of the examples, you see. So when two become one, outward examples are given just to bring home the truth of it at the back of it, you see. When two unite in the worldly way, they forget everything, they forget their body, they just enjoy that by absorption, soul into soul, they forget all world over. Similarly, when our soul, these impressions, and we, those are embedded in our heart, naturally in due course of time, patience is necessary, you see. Perseverance is necessary. Then you feel from day to day that He is in me and I am in you. the prize. Kabir had given an example. Just can I just lay down the bed within your eyes and look at him and absorb your whole, his whole, I mean, radiation what he gives within you and close your eyes with these eyebrows, you see, put these objects outside, curtains, and you be there and you, he be within you. You don't look to anybody and let him not look to anybody else. You see, these are examples to show. In this way, you will please the Lord, and Lord will be pleased with you. This is one way, it's like that. When you receive impression with this Jnana, naturally your heart will be just overflowed with this devotion and love. So what will give you, you will always be thinking of it. And when you meet others, you are speaking of the Lord, of the bridegroom, just like outward way, those who are newly married, they sit down, brides together, and talk about the husband, you see. Just like those are on the way back to God, they receive those impressions within them. They always, when two meet, they think of God or God in them. And that devotion still further overflows, you see, becomes stronger and stronger and so much so that by radiation you are overflowed with that love divine. This is one way how we should be devotion. There are other ways that we're speaking before. So today's subject is how to do devotion to the Lord. One way is like that. Receive in the old days there are some in the original time and in the time of Swami Shivji, people used to look into the eyes of the Master. They said that. They would look into it. For a few minutes, they would receive impression. This is the strongest way to receive the radiation of the Master. Once I was just talking, and my Master used to, when I used to go, he would always sit by me, give talk. I used to talk to him and the people enjoyed. So I was just explaining that in old times, masters allowed the disciples to just make them sit before them and look into his eyes. Eyes are the windows of the soul. It is God within him that looks to you. And when you are receptive, you receive all those impressions. This is, I think, the best way out. Then the time came out further, you see. Vidarajuni would not allow to go to it all right. He would say, oh, what is life? Look at me. So one of the disciples was sitting there, he cried, Master, why don't you allow us to do that? You see? So this is one of the nine forms of the devotion or bhakti, which is the most effective, I would say. Naturally, when you that embedded in your heart, out of the abundance of heart a man speaks. Naturally. You're always singing praises of the God, God in them. When two men of the disciples will sit together, they're always talking of God. When more than one sits together, the devotion to the God men or Guru Bhakti is strengthened. You follow me now? How these things are dwelt. These are not given in talks, I tell you. These are practical hints which are given in the morning, every day. So these are the way those who follow that way. Naturally, when that is embedded in your heart, you will speak out of the abundance of your heart. When two will meet, he will be remembered, not to whom you talk. And two girls, newly married, they all talk of the bridegroom, you see. Similarly, when two disciples, devoted to the Master, the God in man or God, when they sit together, they always think of the Master or God. So naturally, how the love is radiated between two disciples. When they speak of their bridegroom, how nearer at heart you feel to each other. Similarly, when you speak of God, those who are on the way to that, they dwell more love. You see? That is such a relation which cannot be broken even after death. So God unites us, Godman unites us in a relation which continues even after leaving the body. Our Master used to say, well, someone going across the river, some have reached before, the others are following, but all will meet together at the other side. Those who are initiated on the way back to God, they are all to go there. But who will go? Who will do bhakti in this way? These are things to just judge where we stand. The highest aim to have in human life, you see, is to know God. Because no God unless you know yourself, unless you have been drawn from all, the example is given, you are cut off from outside. That's the most effective way, I would tell you. That's the bread of life, what Christ said. I am the bread of life. This is bread of life has come down from heaven. Those who partake of it shall have everlasting life. It's not the outer bread of life you should bread. It is bread of life, which you get by looking through the windows of the soul, I would say, just into the window in which that Master, God in man, is radiating His love. This is most effective. This only expressed in words, you really get bread of life. That's the most effective way. This is one of it. Not even that is there, you enjoy those who are on the way, you see. You talk, oh, Master is like that, Master is like, God is like that. You dwell more. And all of you singing praises of Him, the God in Him. This is one way, you see, in which our devotion is dwelt and is strengthened also. But time factor is necessary, patience is. Perseverance is necessary. Not in one day, in 2 days you'll find it. You'll forget who you are. It is I? No, no, no more I. It is He who dwells in my heart. Then the criteria remains. Just put the same question to the Master and also to the one disciple who is just in tune with the Master. If you put in the same question, the same words will come out from the Master as you will ask from the disciple. Exactly the same words. The same words when Master speaks of such a disciple, well, he may be hundreds of miles away, he will feel radiation while they are destiny. He should become receptive. And that's the most effective. What I learnt, I tell you, from my Master, I'll simply look at it. And I question all through life, 2 or 3 questions I put in. No more. So what is He? He comes with you. And God is in Him, and the God comes with you. That's all. Very simple, there's no philosophy required. You learn by radiation more, thousands of times more than you have through practices. Your practice, you see, fruitful, becomes fruitful when you do that. For a while you see, you're withdrawn and gone, going. All foreign thoughts won't intervene, interfere. This is one way out, bhakti. This is one. There are 9 ways. 2, 3 comes that way. One like that, then what is within you, you speak of that, naturally out of the abundance of what a man speaks. And whenever 2 are the same, on the same way together, they overflow with love. For God, not for love with each other. That is but natural. So God in man unites us in such a relation, which never, what you say, broken, even after leaving the body. We are all on the one way to back, on the same. So we have to just judge how far we have got. There is no question of high or low, you feel rich or poor. Who have done this? I was just talking about the devotion to God and to the Master, you see. True worship lies in the fact that man must be true to the words of the Master, the God speaking through him. What he says is the Bible, is the Veda, is the Grantha, is the Quran. Take it as Bible truth, you see, and act on it. By simply paying obeisance outside, that won't help you. Unless you pay obeisance to the word and the commandments given by the Master, the God in him. Right, many people come to this system. What for? Only to have personal interest in that. Name and fame, I am the biggest worker in the satsang. Just having control, otherwise where people just look to my beck and call, like that. He wants you just to perceive the Master too. He says the Master work is going on only through us, but for us. Such like attitude, these people go on so long as their interests are served, they will go on. When their interests are marred somehow or other, directly or indirectly, they will go against the Master openly. Such instances have been always in the times of the Master too. Even Judas was played against Christ. It was you crucified him. Even in all sessions, people come of different things. I am telling you, those who come with true hearts, really for devotion to God, they will have God. But if they come with some purpose in view, maybe name and fame, maybe some lucrative point of view, you see, maybe for some purpose here and there, well, such like people cannot derive the full benefit of coming to the Lord. You see, those very people who were become the, I mean, commander of the system, those very people, when their interests are not served, they go against him. People say, what is all that? He was the most devoted man. Well, he was not devoted to the Master, he was devoted to his personal interests. Leave your homes for the sake of God, all through the way, don't think of anything else when you reach the place. Don't think of who has come or who has not come. Only you and between you and the Master, there should be no one, nobody else. We strike friendships within the way. And take it, tell them that, well, this is the way to love God. Well, look here, love God. Love does not mean sexual love. No, let me be very frank, you see. They begin to love physically. The result is their time between the Master and the man concerned. This is all. I have been very explaining these things openly. Nowhere you'll find like that. But still with that, this disease goes on. People, you must be true to your own self. The God is within you. The Master is within you. If you are true to him, you have to fear none. But for the sake of interest, selfish motives, people come for name or fame or some other lucrative point of view. When those purposes are served, you are very devout, I am the servant of servants and this and that. When that is little satisfied, then those very people proclaim openly, oh, such and such we are seeing the one. So this is the point discussed here, you see. When you come to the Master, heart is one. You can give heart to one, not to hundreds, you see. If you give to God, then love all God for the sake of God. All of you. Not for the... We love people and forget God, not for them. In that way, nobody will stand between you and the Master. You will have full benefit, you derive full benefit of coming to the Master. You follow my point? This is the point discussed here. Simply two lines and ponder over what is in there and put it in practice. You may be doing so many things in your brain, but you don't act even on one word of that. That's what to do. There's a story that five Pandavas, brothers, went to their guru The first day lesson was, we speak the truth. Go and remember, please. We all left. The second day, the four brothers came up and the Yudhishthira did not come up. Third day, fourth day, 5 days, 6 days, 7 days passed. All were coming, but Yudhishthira did not turn up. Those four brothers told the Guru, look here, yeah, that is very simple. You said, speak the truth, we have remembered these very words, the very moment you uttered it. But very strange how bad luck, I would say, such like Yudhishthira. He had not been able to remember these few words, speak the truth. Then he came up after some days and said, Master, I have remembered. And he never spoke lie or to lie. Such like attitude will make you perfect. You know so many things, you don't put it into practice, even one of them, then what will you do? If you want to derive the full benefit of attending, being at the feet of the Master, or by joining any school of thought, if you don't obey the commandments of the Master, how can you proceed further? Student comes, Master gives you a lesson, and the student does not remember that lesson what is given, then he does not care to put in, how far can he proceed further? Master gives some lesson, he memorizes it, then again comes, the Master gives furthermore. He does not even remember the very first lesson, then how can he proceed? Then you come here like a business, like I tell you, very strange, only paying obeisance, telling only humility outer way, that won't help you, mind that. If you love me, Christ said, keep my commandments. अगर तुम ये प्यार करते हो तो मेरे कमान में तो हम चलो बस देख लो. So you people come here with all due deference. Why you waste your time? You come here for some higher purpose. Make the use of this, best use of this. Only for wishy-washy way you come here, pay your visit like a custom, only saying you think, that won't give you anything. So this is what is explained here. This book, you see, is gems, I would say. These points have been discussed in detail. This has gone through me with the grace of my God Guru, you see. And every detail has been discussed here, with His grace. And those people who go into the depths of the thing, they know what is what. Start one thing from today. Well, speak the truth. Come after a month, I'll be glad. If you start one thing, all other things will follow. Don't harm anybody in mind, thought, word and thought. You remember it then, your mind will be clear. Have chastity, thought, word and deed. Then radiation is your right. So, if you love God, and God is in every body, the temple of God resides in every heart. If you love God, you will naturally love all others in whom He resides. Then, whom you are going to deceive? Perhaps. We know mentally certain things. Our brain is full of libraries of these things, but not a single point is digested and put into life. That is why there's no change. You have been keeping diaries for how long? Most of you do not keep. Most of you. I think in the West, I've got about 80% people keeping diaries. Here, I think, 5% will keep diaries. You follow me? Keep diaries, be very, very hard task master, watch your life. Stick to it. I tell you, just digest one thing. Then put in daily time to your practices. And 2.5 hours. How many there will put in daily? You sit, only then mind will tell you got very perfect way. You got something to start daily at the very initiation. Somebody asked Yogi another How long will it take to have light with us? At least 5 years penance will give you light. You got very first day. How fortunate you are. With all that you don't keep up to it. You don't maintain it. Those are maintaining quite appreciable. I'm talking to all of you, those who don't care. I would rather have only one or two men coming here rather than 100 here. Don't wait. I love you, man, with all your imperfections. And husband assured me, and God said, and husband loves his wife with all his drawbacks, infirmities. He said, I love Congress with all his shortcomings. I love you all with all your shortcomings. Why? Because you are sons of God. You see, God resides within you. I wish you come direct. You got the man body, make the best use of the man body you have got. Only for that reason. Sometimes if they bore attention to one, they say, oh, that attention is only to bring you up. And that is also according to the commandment of my master. You see, what is the standard? If you don't come up to the standard, you are taught then. You think, what is it? These things have put before you so many times. I tell you very plainly, if you don't live up to what you are told, you cannot progress. Initiation helps you, of course, in your love for the Master, love for the light within you, to live up to it. If not, you don't care, you keep, take the medicine and put it in the shelf and don't use it, then please, you will have to come back again. Of course, not below man body. But what is the use of coming back? You have got the man body now. Why can't you make the best use of the thing you have gotten? Your soul touches this, God into pervading power. Into his special power, all sins will be one. You are not to return. And much of the time of earthly life has passed already. Where we stand? Please do live up to what you are here. You come here. You come here for your own purposes and don't live up to what you are told, and you are deceiving all others too. I tell you, you don't deceive you, but all others, oh, this man is going to such a way, his life is such a way, his life is such a way. People point their fingers to you. Such a low man, why? What satsang teaches? You defame the satsang. You become the source of deception to others. Is it all this taught by the satsang here? Come to senses, please. This is all what I just said. आपके यहाँ नहीं आने का क्या फायदा? आप भी उस बात को नहीं फायदा था जो तुमको देखते जाते हो, तुम्हारा जीवन वैसे ही गंदा होकर सत्संग या सब लोगों के धोखा बने संबंधी में कम आप तो भाई साहब आते हो तो लिव अप टू व्हाट यू आर टोल्ड. लव फॉर गॉड, लव फॉर एवरीबॉडी, जस्ट टेक वन बाय वन एंड पुट इट इन योर लाइफ प्रैक्टिस. And you'll change. Anybody who sees you, he run up here and come with the only purpose of knowing God. They know the subject taught here, no agriculture, no engineering, medicine, nothing of the sort. Only how to contact with God. That's only, this is school for that purpose. This is school of spirituality and nothing else. तो जिस काम के लिए आते हो वो काम यहां तुम्हारे आने का मतलब क्या? प्रभु को पाओ, यही है कि और कुछ? अगर यही है तो उससे पूरा फायदा उठाओ. सो दिस इज व्हाट आई टेल यू, यू सी दीज आर वेरी गोल्डन जेम्स यू गॉट हियर. थिंक ऑफ देम, मेक यू पार्ट एंड पार्सल ऑफ योर लाइफ. आफ्टर यू गाइस कम नाउ, यू चेंज. गॉड इज आफ्टर सच पीपल हु आर रियली ट्रूली वांट हिम. Why you should run after God? God will run after you to find out where he can work to live with you. Baba Jaman Singh went out to find Baba Saman Singh in the Marines from Bihar. There are thousands and thousands of other people residing in Punjab. Why did you go there? You were just watching who is the Krishna in the water. The more you act up to it, you will derive the full benefit of coming to the Master and also to have the man body.
Good evening and welcome to the Satsang for Master Kripal Singh. The recording you listened to was two morning talks called How to Do Our Bhakti and Obedience to the Master. They were given on November 11, 1967 and January 12, 1968 in Delhi, India. Our reader tonight is Rudy Cascon. Hello, Rudy.
Hello, Christine. Okay, I'll continue. Today's talk is from the March 1972 Satsang Dash, and it's called Dye Your Prayer Carpet in Wine. And Master begins by saying, this is a hymn composed by Sri Guru Ram Das Ji, and like all his other hymns, this one too is characterized by a peculiar devotional attitude. In the talks of all the saints can be found a tinge of devotion to the Master. And this devotion too can be found in all religious and holy scriptures. It does not surprise us, therefore, to find in all the talks given by Sri Guru Ram Das this singular exposition of devotion to the Master. For in him, love for the Master reached a culminating point. A simple incident in this respect is on the record here. When Guru Amar Das was 125 years of age, each disciple hoped that he would succeed to the spiritual leadership when the guru died. Each one thought himself to be the most devoted amongst the guru's followers. The master, of course, knew all this. Great men often employ peculiar ways to bring home the ignorant and the recalcitrants. And with the object of putting them to the test, the Master called these disciples together and ordered them to build theras, small platforms or terraces. No sooner was the order given than each one of them selected a suitable spot and began building the theras. And when the theras were completed, Sri Guru Amar Das Ji ordered his followers to demolish their work and then again instructed them to build others, this time in a different place. This process of building and demolishing was repeated several times, after which most of the disciples left the work. Those who always perceive things from the level of the sensual plane with never an opportunity to invert and witness the greatness of the Master within, made all sorts of conjectures with their limited intelligence and thus wavered on the path of the Master. Sri Guru Ram Das Ji, however, held on with steadfastness and perseverance to the work of setting up and demolishing the terraces as the Master directed. He knew that there should be no why and how in carrying out the orders of the Master. For in his eye, Sri Guru Amar Das Ji was no ordinary person, and he had himself established this during his spiritual experiences. His co-disciples, however, began speaking ill of the Master, who was so fastidious in the preparation of the theras which, after all, were of no consequence to them at all, and felt that the master had lost his wits owing to dotage. But these poor people could hardly realize what mystery lay at the bottom of their master's strange request. They could not understand the greatness of that enlightened soul. The underlying purpose was, in fact, to find a real aspirant who could safely be entrusted with the spiritual legacy. One who was above and beyond the range of mind and intellect. Well, history tells us that Sri Guru Amar Das Ji had the terraces built and demolished no less than 72 times. And when the people said that the master was not in his senses, Ram Das Ji, with tears streaming down his cheeks, said, "In this wide world, master alone is a living personality. If he too is not in his wits, alas, what could happen to us who are wholly dependent upon him for salvation?" Well, in the course of time, spiritual leadership was duly bestowed upon Sri Guru Ram Das Ji, and this hymn is his composition. Nowadays, many Mahatmas, great souls, are initiating people, but they little know the responsibilities which initiation carries with it. It is not child's play, nor does it depend on riches, power, knowledge, or worldly grandeur to bestow initiation, as the great God is hidden from view. Even so, it is with the real and perfect saints in whom his light manifests itself. Their greatness does not depend upon the opinions and recommendations of others. Such souls are free and independent, and freely bestow their spiritual riches on whomsoever deserves it. In these times, they do not hold tests, as Sri Guru Amar Das did, for they are the sole judges, and the spiritual heritage is passed on to one who either deserves it through his past sankharas or actions, or one who is specifically fitted by the master for the purpose. They do not come to establish a new religion, and they preach from no particular script. From their celestial abode, they come with a law peculiar unto themselves. And this is why the worldly people often fail to understand them. And as for the strict trials and tests of fitness, it is gratifying to know that these have been done away with during this Kali Yuga Iron Age. But whenever necessary, they do put searching questions to the aspirants. So long as these masters remain in their physical raiments, they are not limited by this, as is a slave who is confined to the galleys. The worldly people, entangled as they are in the meshes of the senses and worldly pleasures, regard them also as being bound within the limitations of body and mind attachments as they themselves are. The world is not governed by blind laws, nor do the saints talk of or do things without a pole of set principles, but the labyrinth of intricate rules and regulations is so bewildering that one feels lost in it. Often, however, we try to find a way out by the study of holy scriptures or by carrying on a search, which usually proves fruitless. When all efforts fail, we involuntarily raise our hands in prayer for our rescue. and as the universal law of demand and supply is in operation everywhere. This cry is no sooner heard than the Master appears on the scene with his own uncommon law and regulations, which are paid no heed to by the men of the world. The rules and conduct of the great souls are very simple and straightforward. Hazur used to tell us of the Qazi, a Kotwal, or censor of morals, in Persia, who, by a turn of fortune, was compelled to leave his country with his only daughter. And on the way, the caravan was attacked by robbers who killed many in the party. And in the looting that followed, carried away the daughter of the Qazi with a view of selling her for money. The Qazi, though wounded, escaped with his life. And in a sorry condition, he reached the town where he began to eke out a bare living. The governor of the town, on learning that the new arrival was learned in religious law, sent for him and made him the Qazi of the town. Time is a great healing force, and gradually the memories of friends and relations of deaths and losses fade away with the memory of a person. He either busies himself with rehabilitation and adjustment to new surroundings, or, if touched deeply, he turns towards God alongside his worldly pursuits. The Qazi had a heart-rendering experience, and sometimes he would find time in all his multifarious activities for devotion to God in solitude. And thus, after several years passed, one day a few theologians appeared before the Qazi and complained that Haifetz, a great religious devotee in Persia, was guilty of blasphemy and spoke things against the Quranic injunctions. And they asked that he should be tried and sentenced for heresy, as he would lead the people astray from the path of rectitude, and thereby endanger religion itself. The Qazi, after hearing the complaints, inquired as to what the accused preached, and was informed that he very often repeated a half couplet which was nothing but un-Islamic. And he would say, "Dye thy prayer carpet in wine, should thy master so ordain." Well, as the use of wine was an act of sacrilege, a teaching to the effect that the prayer carpet be dyed in wine was nothing but a horrible crime in direct opposition to the religious tenets, and tended to corrupt the morals of the people. The Qazi heard this with grave attention and inquired the address of the devotee. And he told them that he himself would go to the man and request him to stop his pernicious teaching. The next day, after discharging daily religious duties, the Qazi went alone to the man he had heard of, and after formal salutations, he sat before him and said, "O thou respected being, I, thy servant, have received a complaint against thee from people who charge thee with leading others astray from the path of religion. Wouldst thou stop all this?" The fakir replied that he only repeated a half couplet before each of his visitors, which enjoined them to dye their prayer carpets in wine should the master so direct. The Qazi requested him to change or complete the culprit by adding the second half of it so as to clarify the meaning. At this, the fakir directed him to another religious fakir, whose abode was on a hilltop, who in turn told the Qazi that he would complete the couplet if he, the Qazi, would spend a night at a particular prostitute's house. This request came as a double-edged shock to the Qazi. He, as the saying goes, had come with a request for the abstinence from the observance of fasts. Mohammedans observed these to gain religious merit, but was asked to offer prayer as well. Well, to dye the prayer carpet in wine was in itself a sacrilegious thing, but to spend the night in a brothel was intolerable blasphemy. The Qazi was indignant and on the very verge of an outbreak of passion. And when the thought of all his learning and his respect for the man of God kept him under restraint, he tried to think of a way out of the strange predicament in which he found himself. He had often heard that the mysterious utterances of holy people are filled with hidden wisdom, and that they utter nothing in vain. And these thoughts prevented him from taking any hasty action against the man. And he therefore determined to fully investigate the position first. While reaching his home, he accordingly sent word to the prostitute that he would spend the night in her house. And when she received the message, she was beside herself with joy at the thought of such a renowned visitor. And that night, when the Qazi appeared, she presented a young girl for his entertainment. And as the Qazi looked toward the girl, he saw that she was weeping and asked her what was the matter. Seeing the tears streaming down from her rosy cheeks, he consolingly told her he would not lay a finger on her, but asked her instead to relate without fear the tale of her woe. At these words, the girl gathered courage. And after wiping her tears, she informed him that she was a poor orphan girl from a noble family. For a long time, she had been attended by prostitutes who were this very night using her as a helpless instrument in their nefarious trade. So far, she was spotless and requested the Qazi to spare her the ignominy. And as she concluded her story, the tears once again welled in her eyes. The Qazi felt very sorry for her and inquired as to how she came to be with the prostitute and where her original home was, that he could restore her to her parents. The girl then narrated the story in full and told him that when she was 8 years of age, she had accompanied her father on a caravan journey. The caravan had been waylaid by marauders who had murdered most of the persons, wounded many others, plundered their belongings, and had carried her off and sold her to a prostitute. In those days, such incidents of people being waylaid and robbed were very common. And the Qazi had himself been such a victim some years earlier. He made up his mind to restore her to her parents and inquired of her place of origin, which strangely enough turned out to be one of his own hometown. And when she told him the street and the locality, he was very surprised at the remarkable coincidence. But when she gave him the name of her father, the Qazi, now beside himself with surprise and joy, drew the girl toward him in loving embrace, for it was his daughter who sat before him. And that night they spent in relating to each other their experiences, and the following day they both went to the religious devotee to thank him, and the Qazi prostrated himself before the sage and confessed that it was impossible for men of the world to understand the wisdom of the great souls. All worldly learning was of no consequence before such men, and it was only by implicitly following the sage's injunctions that he had been able to locate his daughter. he expressed his utter inability to show his gratitude for the great favor bestowed upon him and asked for future guidance and instruction. And thereupon, the devout man directed him to go back to Heifetz and ask him to complete the couplet by adding the second half of it. Thus Heifetz did. As the master traveler on the path is not ignorant of the twists and turns on the highway, thus the Qazi established his faith in that good man, and from then onward became his disciple. The truth, then, is that only a fortunate person can understand the meaning of their apparently stray and offhand remarks. Every word uttered by a saint is pregnant with unutterable truth which lies beyond the human ken. They are the mouthpiece of God, and whatever they utter comes to them from above, though it may appear to be coming from mortal throats. A Hindu poet has expressed the same idea in a simple and lucid form. Whatever the disciple does in accordance with the instructions of the master, that forms part and parcel of devotion. And now we're going to continue with a birthday message, January 10th, 1972, in the February Satsang Desh of Master 1972. Dear ones, I'm sending you the following message in brief on my physical birthday, which will bring peace to all the world over. Be good, do good, and be one. One, be good and do good means to be able to do good, you must be good in the first instance. Being good means good in thought, word, and deed. God is all goodness and innate in all. Be friendly with everyone. Be kind and compassionate. See goodness in all around you, including even those you hate. God is all love. Love all, serve all, and do good to all. Two, be one. God made man. All mankind is one. Man is an ensouled body, bearing labels of different social bodies. All men are all one, born the same way with equal privileges from God. Also, as souls, we are also of the same essence as that of God, a drop of the ocean of all consciousness, and controlled by the same power, which we all worship, calling by different names. Unity already exists, but we have forgotten. Be one. Love all with all love and best wishes, Kirpal Singh. And now I'm just going to read just the beginning of this talk by Master from the February 1972 Satsang Desh. Joyfully I surrender. All great souls who have come to this world told mankind, you have great potential within you, and you are therefore exceedingly blessed to have been given human birth. But what is the purpose of this human life? Why is it so highly praised? And what is this great potential it holds? The value of human life lies in the fact that only in the human form can God be realized. But we must remember that it is the soul which can experience knowledge of the Lord. Not the mind, not the senses, not the intellect, nor vital airs. Through every age, this subject has been explained by sages, that to establish clear understanding, the intellect is made to work, but as those sages have proved, realization is a different matter. Intellect, understanding, at the level of the mind and senses, is both useful and in nearly all cases necessary. But man must gain knowledge of what he really is, what he is as soul. Then only does it become possible for him to realize what God is. So on the spiritual path to God realization, one must first take steps towards self-realization. And what does it mean to know oneself? It is not enough to merely say, I am not the senses, I am not the mind. I am a conscious entity, I am soul. This is just a verbal expression of feeling, or is the sum total of inference gained by reaching a conclusion through the intellect. Realization is something separate from all of this. In the Upanishads it says, when the senses are controlled, the mind is stilled. The intellect is also stilled. Then the soul is united. And I'm going to end it right there. And thank you all for listening. I have been reading Master's talk from the March 1972 Satsang Desh called Dye Your Prayer Carpet in Wine. And then I read the birthday message of Master's, Be One, Be Good and Do Good, from the February Satsang Desh. Thank you all for listening, and thank you, Master, for your words of wisdom, truth, and humility. Amen.
Thank you, Rudy, for reading Master's gracious words to us. There were 55 participants at tonight's satsang. Thank you, everyone, for listening, and thank you, Master, for your loving guidance and blessings.
So we have got, as a man, this man body, a very wonderful house in which we live in. This is considered to be the highest in all creation. And all masters spoke very highly about it. They said, it is next to God. We are divine in nature. We are spirit in man. As spirit is eternal, we are also eternal. Why we fear that we will die?